This is Jen Verheeren from Cadence Coaching once again. Welcome to Train Your Nervous System Like You Train Your Horse. I'm going to describe a concept that we use in positive reinforcement horse training that I think you'll recognize. It's relevant to our topic, will become clear in a few minutes. In positive reinforcement training, we have two terms we use to describe two types of training behavior. And I'm talking about the behavior of the trainer, not the behavior of the horse. These two terms are splitting and lumping. In splitting, you have a plan in mind to teach your horse something. You plan out your goal. You identify your starting point and how you're going to divide the goal into teeny tiny baby steps in order to shape and build the final desired skill. You split your goal into small baby steps and then you train every step separately and consecutively. You train each one to mastery before you move on to the next. In this way, you train or shape your goal skill in a very systematic way. Each baby step is a building block of the desired skill. This is what we call splitting. In lumping, the steps that the trainer lays out for the horse are too big. Too many criteria are asked for all at once, and the horse does not fully understand what it's being asked. As the trainer, if you've been lumping, you've simply been asking the horse to meet too many criteria too soon. Lumping behavior in a trainer shows up as really recognizable signs in the horse. It shows up as fear, frustration, disinterest, distraction, anger, and then even eventually horses will shut down. So your horse might become disinterested, resistant, and frustrated because he doesn't understand what's expected of him, and he'll feel stressed when you're lumping. Hopefully, we don't just grab a frightened horse out of the stall, slap a saddle on it, and start cracking the whip in order to get it to do what we want. Instead, we slowly acclimate it to each new stimulus in order to build confidence and calm. Good splitting is not easy. It takes practice and a tremendous amount of patience. At first glance, it can seem that splitting is a much longer route to your goal, but interestingly, over time, if you apply it, you'll find that splitting actually takes less time because the horse learns to learn and gets good at tackling each little step along the way towards your training goal. Learning that is achieved this way is thorough and reliable. So, what does this have to do with performance skills? If you have had a fall or a trauma that haunts you, or you're wanting to get back in the saddle after time off, or you're plagued by nerves every time you go to mount, or you find yourself to be as spooky as your horse, and it doesn't even matter why, it's time for you to treat your nervous system as if it's a horse. That means no lumping, no pushing through your fear of cantering by forcing yourself to do it over and over and over, or making yourself go to a show and ride through a show jumping round if you're still really nervous jumping at home. No more doing things because you think you should, despite joy-stealing fear. It's time to treat yourself with the compassion that you would treat a young horse. That doesn't mean you don't have high standards and big goals. It just means you become a splitter. You take your goal and you split it up into as tiny little small pieces as you can, as many tiny little small pieces as you can. You then go step by step through those pieces and tackle them one at a time, the whole time, giving your nervous system time to adjust to each new level of stimulus. This is not about convincing yourself that there is nothing to be afraid of. I dare say you and everyone around you has probably been trying that. It's also not about coddling yourself or letting yourself off the hook from important activities. We all know that if you coddle a frightened horse, it will become more frightened. Okay, this is about you being your own best leader. I have a client whose stated goal was to ride in a Cavalletti class with her friends. Her horse had bolted with her once in the past, and she came to me wanting to overcome the fear that had started after that experience and had been mushrooming ever since. Her instructor and she both agreed that the bolt was a freak thing and that her horse was basically safe and appropriate for her. She had, however, gotten to the point where she was writing in private lessons, but not at home, not riding on her own, and she was afraid to ride with other horses in the ring. And fear had pretty much become her constant companion while she was riding. She said some days she was so paralyzed by fear that she just simply could not get on her horse and go forward. Other days he would start out a little spooky and she would just get off and put him away. She was in pain because she felt like she was missing out on so much. So her nervous system was basically operating on overdrive as a result of her bad experience, and she was stuck in the fear cycle. She was not interested in giving up on her horse. She was not interested in giving up riding. She was really committed to overcoming her own fear. She was an example, though, of mental skills not being enough because her nervous system would kick in before her brain even had a chance to think a thought. So here's what we did to retrain her nervous system. First, she had to accept that she was having a physiological response to riding that she could not change by talking herself out of it. She realized she would need to retrain her nervous system to not be so reactive to certain things. Okay, so once she had really truly come to that conclusion and believed it, then I had her decide on her first benchmark or her short-term goal. She wanted to be able to walk and trot in the arena with one other horse while her fear level stayed at a 1 or a 2 on the fear scale. Okay, and if you remember, the fear scale is a reference tool for observing the level of emotion you're experiencing. 1 is mild butterflies and 5 is get me the hell out of here. Okay, so once she had mastered riding in the ring with one other horse, she would move on to her second benchmark, which was to ride through a variety of Cavalletti exercises with one horse in the ring, while again staying around a 1 or a 2 on the fear scale. Okay, then finally she would ride through Cavalletti with 2 other horses in the ring, and then ultimately be free to go to her Cavalletti class. Okay, so once we had decided all that, I asked her to identify exactly when the anxiety would start to come up, when she was driving to the barn, when she was tacking up, when she was going to the arena, when she was getting on. I wanted her to identify exactly when she started to be triggered. She said she could feel her nerves start to go crazy as soon as she started leading her horse from the barn aisle or the washroom, or the wash stall into the arena. She would feel her fear go from a 1 to a 4 as she got nearer to the arena door. Okay, so that would be step 1. Leading her horse from wash stall to arena. Okay, the next trigger was mounting. She would be overcome by fear. She climbed up on the mounting block. Okay, so that would be step 2. Then walking off. Then making walk halt transitions. Then riding a 20-meter circle at the walk. Then the whole arena at the walk. Then walk trot transitions. Then a 20-meter circle in the trot. Then the whole arena in trot. Then leading her horse in the arena riding a horse in the arena while a friend was riding a trusted horse. Okay. And then riding while 2 other riders were in the arena riding horses. Then riding together at the walk and the trot. Then adding in the Cavalletti. Okay. So you get the idea. And I really listed all those because it's so easy to grow impatient with this process. But you really want to break it down into all those little steps. So every day, she was to approach her training session with no idea how far along in those steps she would get. So the first day, I had her lead her horse into the arena with the intention of getting on. But when her fear went up to a 4 or a 5, she was to pause and breathe and observe her emotions. Her assignment was to breathe and keep noticing what her fear level was. Where was it in her body? What was the sensation of the fear? Inevitably, when you become the observer of your own emotions, your fear will subside. So once it had gone back down to a 1, she went back to the wash stall, turned around, and headed back to the arena again with every intention of getting on. And she repeated that until she was walking from the wash stall to the mounting block, staying between a 1 and a 2. Then she moved on to the mounting block. At whatever point her fear would go up to a 4 or a 5, she would pause, breathe, and observe. Then she would repeat that step until she was staying at a 1 or a 2. How small each step was really determined by how well her nervous system was acclimating to each one. As with horses, every day is different. Some days she would get to step five. Some days she'd have to get on and off the mounting block until she ran out of time. Over a period of a couple of months, this client went from having fear as a constant companion to riding in weekly Cavalletti classes with her friends, which she loved. Riding came to represent freedom and fun for her again. If she had spent that same amount of time pushing through her fear, which she had actually for a couple of years, pushing through her fear and forcing herself to do all the things while she was in a high state of alarm, she would still be right back where she started. As you play with this concept, be patient with yourself and condition your nervous system to every small step in your plan. Ask for help if you need it. It may be really helpful to have a friend or an instructor there to support you through this, as long as they completely understand your objective. Most of us are so conditioned to trying to make people feel better and help them understand that there's nothing to be afraid of that we actually make it worse. So be really clear and explain to whoever's helping you what your objective is. So you will have reached mastery at every step along the way when you consistently and easily go from a 4 or a 5 on the fear scale to a 1 or a 2 on your fear scale. You can apply this system to almost any situation or goal that's being blocked by what you might think of as irrational fear or anxiety. In order to successfully do it, however, you must let go of being goal-oriented in the familiar sense and totally tune into your emotions in order to retrain them. One important outcome of this exercise is that it requires you to stop judging your emotions and start observing them. This is the only way that they'll begin to move and operate as they should. It's quite often our own judgment of ourselves for feeling a particular way that really keeps us stuck. Just as you are not your thoughts, you are also not your emotions. What you resist persists, and judgment is one of the most powerful forms of resistance there is. Each of us has differing degrees of fear stemming from an infinite possibility of reasons. None of this matters once you commit to retraining your nervous system and getting to the other side of your fear. Even if you don't have this kind of fear yourself to overcome, I guarantee that this will come in handy sometime as you're supporting a friend, a family member, or a student as they battle their own demons. This understanding of fear and how to train your nervous system can make you not only a better rider, but a better friend, a better parent, and a better teacher as well. Have fun with it. Thank you.